from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banners, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, what's going on?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Not right, bad, Jonas. Yesterday, camp wrapped up for fans. Who would you say is kind of your camp all-stars if you had to pick some?
Man, that's tough. Just based on like the past week and a half, I might say Ardarius Washington. I guess probably the better answer is Marlon Humphrey. I think this is the kind of player that I expected when I think a lot of fans expected last year. I think he was dominant in stretches. There were times where he just wasn't thrown at, and the times when he wasn't thrown at, he usually made a play on the ball. I mean, Lamar Jackson must have thrown 4 or 5 picks. I just think that he looked like his dominant old self. And, you know, when he maybe slowed up a little bit at the end of practice, at the end of camp, there was Ardarius Washington coming in and making plays, blitzing, picking off passes, winning jump balls against bigger receivers and tight ends. So I guess I would split between those two with probably a slight nod to Marlon for the work he did against the first team offense.
You know who it would have been for me, Jonas, would probably be Oweh, you know, because he's been dominant in practice. I just want to see it in the games. But, I mean, I got to give it to him. In practice, he's been a guy that's been disruptive out there a lot.
Yeah, it's edge rusher is one of those spots that it's tough to get a read on because, you know, oftentimes these guys are just running wide of quarterback and you don't know how close they are and they're obviously not coming anywhere close to near where they can hit them. But I think you learned everything you need to know from Zach Orr when he said that, you know, he's obviously been here since 2022 and he called this the best Oweh that he's seen in training camp.
Me too.
Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, you know, he's embarrassed Roger Rosengarten a couple of times in one-on-ones. I think I told you about the outside rush where he just left him sprawling on the grass and it wasn't really close. And, you know, it is refs like that that give me a little bit of hesitation with double R there, right there. But I think, you know, I'm not willing to put good money behind Adafi Oweh having like a double-digit sack season, but I do feel like this is the kind of year where he could have that kind of breakthrough.
We're talking to Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan, and Jonas coming into camp. The offensive line was probably the biggest concern. How are you feeling about the offensive line now with camp coming to a close?
I mean, a little bit more uneasy than I was a week earlier.
Just amen.
JD. I mean, he has been a magician over the past 5 or so years. And I tweeted out when Jody stepped aside for these health reasons, like, you know, they've had top 10 rush run blocking and pass blocking rates on, you know, ESPN's, kind of computer AI evaluation tool for the past 5 years, the past 4 years, and that is a really, really special considering one of those years was they had Alejandro Villanueva playing right tackle. So, it's one more thing to put onto that group's plate. Obviously there is that trust between the new offensive line coach, George Warhoff, and Todd Monken, considering their history going back together. But, you still see, some problems with blitz pickup on the left side. You still see Benefalele not really being too much of a people mover on the right side. We don't know exactly how the snaps are going to happen on the right tackle. I feel really good about Ronnie Stanley over these first 4 weeks or so. But even the absence of Tyler Linderbaum, I think, has probably hurt this group because that is a lot of mental stress that he would otherwise take that has been put on other guys and maybe hurt their development. So it's not like it's been the training camp from hell for the offensive line, because these guys have, besides Linderbaum, they've all had pretty good health. But, I think it was always going to be a little bit unrealistic for John to have had the starting offensive line, patched together by the second week of camp. And here we are going to the second preseason game, and I don't know if there are really any sure things up front.
Hey, Jonas, do you expect anybody different playing in this game that didn't play last week? Like, any other starters are going to see action this week that didn't last week? And, and injured guy. I'm guessing we're going to see Isaac, and then Tampa probably not, I would guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Tampa. I wouldn't expect Wiggins. I did see him at the end of team drills yesterday, but it was very half-speed stuff. So I don't think they're going to risk throwing him out there, especially while he has that harness or brace still on his shoulder. I would like to see Ajabo. Obviously, we talked to Harbaugh on Wednesday. We didn't ask him if he'd gotten cleared. He probably wouldn't have had an answer just because of how far away he was from the game. But I feel like we've seen enough in camp these past few days to suggest that he looks good. I don't know what that means for what the MRI or the X-ray on his knee suggests, but I would like to see him. I would even like to see Bateman if they're comfortable, throwing out a starting wide receiver just to give him and just to give Josh Johnson a little bit more help out wide. If Atlanta's throwing out their starters on defense for a series, then I would like to see Bateman do the same thing, just to have him go out there and maybe take a few hits, maybe just feel the physicality of the game in a way that he hasn't really. There's just a bunch of other small niggling injuries that I guess it's just up to the Ravens coaching staff and the Ravens medical team. But I think those are probably the big two. I want to see Ajabo and Bateman.
Jonas, last thing for you. You brought up Rashad Bateman. Looking at this receiver group, we've seen them bring in guys like Anthony Miller and Russell Gage over the last couple of weeks. How do you feel about the depth at receiver for this team right now?
Not great. I think we've all been pretty disappointed by DeVonta's Walker. It was even more disappointing to not see him at practice yesterday, which means that we might not see him in Saturday's game against Atlanta, which I think would be a really big blow, because he played like 16, 17 snaps in that Eagles game, like eight of them, but were passing reps. So not a whole lot of experience there for the guy. And, he just hasn't really come on as strong as I think I would have liked. We've seen Tyler Wallace make some plays with Lamar, but he still has, 67 career receiving yards over his first 3 years in Baltimore. I've liked what I've seen from Bateman, despite the, on and off chemistry with Lamar. Haven't really thought this has been a great camp for State Flowers. He's been fine. But, again, this is kind of what we expected. This is going to be a passing game that's going to probably have to be carried by the tight end, then if that means that you are going 12 personnel on 50% of your snaps, then it doesn't really matter, what wide receiver four, wide receiver five can do. But, it hasn't been a super encouraging camp, but I think there is enough there to maybe be more explosive than what Ravens were last year.
Jonas, great stuff. Appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Jonas, appreciate
Thanks.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around. We had some football on last night. One of the top picks in the NFL draft this past year was on the field. How did he do? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Here it goes. Yeah. The pouty looks. It's got to get you feeling good. A little confidence. First NFL touchdown drive for Drake May.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're getting you the whip around. That audio you just heard, courtesy of NBC Sports Boston. Patriots fall to the Eagles 14-13 in the preseason. That doesn't matter. Drake May, though, he looked pretty good. 6'4", 11, passing 47 yards. Had a couple of drops on some deep balls that hit guys right in stride. He did have the rushing touchdown that you heard, 4 carries, 15 yards, and the 6-yard touchdown. I thought May looked pretty solid in this one. He got to go on. I think he got the second quarter and a little bit of the third quarter last night, but a good showing for him.
Yeah, and he needs reps is what he needs. And Joe Milton does a nice job for them, too, who deserves some reps, too. But, like, Drake May needs to start this last game, Cordell, and play, like, into the first series of the third quarter. He needs that many reps. But the problem is their O-line.
Right.
You know, you don't want to get him killed. So, kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But he needs a ton of reps to see if... Because I saw where Mayo said that if he's deserving, then he would start.
Mm-hmm.
And hard for him to be deserving if he's not getting a ton of reps. And they're going to be really bad anyhow this year. So why do that to them right out the get-go?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, and we talked about this the other day, you know, the league has gone away from allowing a lot of these young guys to hold the clipboard. It's like you got to get them out there as soon as possible. And then you see some cases here recently where teams at least act like they're hesitant to start these guys. In this case, like you said, they're bad. They're not winning anything anyway. It's one thing if there's, you know, a Tom Brady or an Alex Smith or an Aaron Rodgers or somebody there ahead of them. I like Jacoby Brissett, but I think Brissett could give the same type of impact if he's on the sideline with a headset on to kind of encourage and talk to Drake May in between drives as opposed to him being out there. I don't think Drake May is going to learn anything from watching Jacoby Brissett play. I think Brissett would help him more just by talking to him on the sideline. I think they should play May right out of the gate. Now, granted, like you said, their offensive line isn't good. They don't have a lot of wide receiver weapons.
No.
I'm curious to see what Jalen Polk does for them this year, their second-round pick out of Washington. Kayshawn Boutte, who they got out of LSU a year ago as well. But you saw Javon Baker drop a couple of passes last night. I mean, I don't know exactly who he's throwing the ball to out there, but I definitely think he'll learn more by playing as opposed to watching.
It's kind of, well, they know better, and is he ready? Is he ready to handle that? See, like Caleb Williams, I think he steps right in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's no problem for him.
Right.
You know, and I think, Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I mean, he started 6 years.
Right.
Where Drake May, what he played, two?
Mm-hmm.
2 years? So... And everybody kind of thought, everybody that evaluated Drake May thought he needed a year before he started. So their coaches know if he's ready. They have a plan. I think if he starts Cordell, it'll be after week 8.
Mm.
Or if Brissett gets hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I still lean Brissett to start the year just based off of what I'm seeing. You know, what the reports are coming out of New England, it seems like Brissett's probably going to get the start, but I think that they are trying to see if May can handle it, and if he can, maybe we will see him start the season, or at least early in the season. Not a lot of games going on in Major League Baseball last night. The Athletics, they beat the Mets 7-6, Tigers 2-1 over the Mariners, Brewers 6-4 over the Dodgers at home, Giants blow out the Braves 6-0, Phillies blow out the Nationals 13-3, and the Twins squeak past the Rangers 3-2 out in Texas. Looking at the standings in Major League Baseball with the wild card race heating up in a big way. Orioles, with that win yesterday, they take back the AL East lead. They are tied with the Yankees, both of them at 72-50, but the Orioles own the tiebreaker right now, so the Orioles get the top spot in the AL East. Therefore, the Yankees' first wild card team right now. They're 5.5 games ahead. You have the Twins in the second wild card spot, and the Royals holding on to that last wild card spot right now. They're 2.5 games ahead of the Red Sox, 3.5 ahead of the Seattle Mariners right now. In the National League, the Diamondbacks, they're the first wild card team. They and the Padres are both tied with the same record. The Braves have the last wild card spot right now. The Mets 2 games behind with that loss yesterday. But thankfully for them, the Braves lost as well. So
You don't want to be playing the Padres or Arizona right now.
No. Those are two teams you definitely don't want to see. And the Giants 3.5 games back of the Braves for the last wild card spot. Reds and Cardinals also 4 games back as well. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to Christopher Smith. He covers the Red Sox for MassLive.com. We'll talk to him about the Red Sox and their wild card playoff hopes as well next here on The Fan. Right now, we're talking some baseball. Let's bring in Christopher Smith. He covers the Red Sox for MassLive.com. What's going on, Christopher?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much at all. Boston's in town for this 4-game set against the Orioles, dropping game 1 last night. Boston's in the heat of this AL wild card race right now. How pivotal of a series is this for Boston?
Oh, it's huge. You know, they have not played that great in the second half so far, and this is the stretch right here. You know, 4 in Baltimore, and then they go to Houston for 3, and they just got swept at Houston at home. And so this is just pivotal right here. I mean, you know, you were talking, like, yeah, Alex Cora was talking, you know, right before the All-Star break about how the Red Sox weren't just going to settle for a wild card spot. They were going up, you know, against the Orioles and the Yankees for the division, and things looked good at that point. Right now, they're competing for a third wild card spot now, and you know, they haven't played well, and you know, they have to go up against Burns and, you know, Suarez, and this could just, you know, derail their season.
Yeah, Chris, if I was saying before the series started, you know, like, if the Red Sox won 3 of 4, they're right back in it. Whereas if it's the other way around, then Boston may go bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's a reflection on, you know, where they are as opposed to where the Orioles are. I mean, you know, the guy that pitched last night, obviously, Eflin, I mean, like, you know, well, the Orioles are in a win now mode, and they've got, you know, their young core up and everything, and they've got, you know, excellent starting pitching, even though some guys are on the IL, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, it's different. Like, the Red Sox at the trade deadline, I mean, while their you know, manager and the players were saying, you know, let's try to win this, you know, this division, you know, the front office has to look at it like, you know, they're a year or two away here. And so, you know, the Baltimore Orioles end up with a guy like Eflin at the you know, deadline. And the Red Sox get a couple of relievers who haven't, you know, done anything except give up runs so far. And you know, James Paxton, who's going to be out for the season because he just, you know, had a big tear of the calf or something like that. So I can't remember the exact injury. But, you know, basically, this is where they are. This is what I expected it to be. I predicted Baltimore to be the AL East champions. And, you know, this is the Red Sox are going to have some trouble here.
We saw at the start of the year, the pitching was kind of the calling card for the team. And as the year has gone on, the offense has been the thing that's really carried the Red Sox here. In your mind, do you feel like the pitching can bounce back for Boston?
No, I mean, that's the difficult part right now because, you know, they have guys like Tanner Houck, who, you know, was an all-star and is having a breakout season. He's, you know, he's developed here as their ace. And they've got, you know, Cutter Crawford, who's a good young pitcher. They were relying on those guys, you know, throughout the year so far. And, you know, at the all-star break, Tanner Houck was on pace for 199 innings this year. Cutter Crawford was on pace for 191. I mean, those guys haven't even gone near that in their career. Cutter Crawford at that point was like 7 innings away from his most in the season, and Houck had already passed his. So, like, you know, they're kind of falling apart in terms of pitching right now. You know, in terms of starting pitching, they needed to get a guy at the trade deadline, and they got the guy, James Paxton. It wasn't a great pickup. It was not a Zach Eflin, obviously. And he's already hurt. And so, yeah, the pitching is going to do what dooms them in.
Hey, Chris, what's the fan base? How do they feel about the approach? It seems like the approach, because the approach always for the Red Sox before was spend, you know, compete with the Yankees. Let's get guys, you know, let's win the series every year. And now it seems like kind of a slower, don't spend as much, let's be a little bit more fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, and it's actually like, you know, it's interesting. The fans are obviously not happy with ownership right now, right? Like, you know, like they want them to spend. You know, if you went out this offseason, they did get Lucas Giolito, you know, to add to their pitching staff, but they needed a couple starters. And if they had gotten a couple starters, you know, they, and Giolito's out for the year, you know, had an elbow surgery, you know, it's during spring training. If they had gotten a couple starters, you know, they would have been in this, obviously. The starting pitching starting to dry out because of all the innings they've pitched. They have the worst bullpen ERA in the second half. And so I think that, you know, fans are frustrated with ownership. They want ownership to sell the team. They feel like ownership is, you know, too busy in their other ventures right now. And they have a lot of things, Liverpool, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've got racing, you know, NASCAR, whatever it is. I have no idea about racing, so they own something. But
they got to get Sidney Crosby signed.
Yeah, so like they're they've won four World Series this century, and so now they're focused on some other stuff. And I think that can change, obviously, if there's young core. You had like Jeff Bass and talk about it in the offseason. He was like, the Red Sox have some dudes. And they do. Like, they have three of the top prospects in baseball, and you kind of compare it to, like, you know, the Baltimore Orioles system. However, they have great position players in their system, and guys are starting to come up. They don't have any pitching yet. And that's where Craig Breslow comes in, their new chief baseball officer. I mean, he's a master of pitching, but they've got to get pitching. And so I think that if you see that, you know, young core – you know, really doing well. I mean, the young guys that have been up this year, I mean, it's been a team that's fought and done well. I mean, they weren't supposed to do what they're doing right now. I mean, they're, you know, they were 10 games over 500 the other day. This is a team that everybody thought was just going to be a last place team. And so young guys are doing it. And so if you see those young guys and you see guys like, you know, their top prospects, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, who they got, you know, second overall or fourth overall in the 2022 draft, or 21 draft, those guys are coming up soon. Like, the Orioles have gotten guys up there. And so, you know, they can supplement that talent with, you know, will they supplement that talent when they are in a position by going out and getting free agents and making trades? That's what needs to be seen.
Zdane Rafaela, one of the young bucks for the Red Sox at shortstop, been one of the bright spots for you guys this year. What type of leap have you seen him make from year one to year two?
Yeah, so with him, I mean, he's played, you know, center field and shortstop. And it's like he comes in, he'll start a game at center field. He'll come in, play the last two innings at shortstop if they need it. He'll start a game at shortstop. He'll go out to the outfield. So his defense is extremely good, especially in center field. He's been, I think he's got like 7 defensive runs saved in center field. He's been quite good. I actually asked Cora about this the other day, about like the balls that he hits are extremely hard. Like, the home runs that he hits are extremely hard. The doubles that he hits are extremely hard. However, his average exit velocity is not, you know, near in the league. It's actually down in the lower half. And so, why? And so I think it's just still with him is, you know, he's swinging too many pitches outside of the strike zone and he's making weak contact on those pitches. If he was to stay in the strike zone, he's going to be an elite player. Right now, he's been very good for them. He's put his name in the, you know, the rookie of the year conversation, at least top 5, you know, after, you know, not a good start offensively. Things have clicked, though. He's had some huge home runs in big games. Like, you know, he had one in extra innings at Yankee Stadium in a game that they won. He had one in the 9th inning at Fenway in a game that they won against the Yankees. And so he showed up against some big teams, and he looks like he's a very confident player. Like, he's, you know, like, he didn't get down when he struggled at the beginning of the year. And with him, like, it seems like he's confident in himself. And so that goes a long way. And so I think he's going to be a really good player. You see all these players, I mean, Jackson Holliday coming up. You know, everybody struggles now when they come up. And so there was going to be an adjustment period. So it should be interesting to see where he goes as he gets more experience.
Hey, Chris, did Duran's suspension and the things that he said, did that affect Duran or his teammates at all?
He said he stayed away from his teammates, you know, tried to get them not involved in it. So when he was on the suspension and, you know, tried to make it less as possible on his team, you know, and so, you know, obviously he did a stupid thing. And, you know, I think that, you know, he's recognized that. I've actually thought that Jaron Duran has grown up a lot over the past few years. He's obviously, you know, not this, that this has anything to growing up, but, you know, he's dealt with some anxiety and some depression, and he's overcome some of that over the past couple of years. And he's just grown up, you know, maturity wise. He would back, you know, when he was a younger player, he would kind of hide and avoid the media. And he's been very vocal with the media. He's been a guy that's talked after games. The Red Sox are looking at him to be a leader. And so it was, a terrible leadership thing to do, right? Like, how do you be the leader when you're doing, stuff like that? And, it is interesting. I mean, the comment that was made from the stands is like, a tennis racket, right? Like, can you hit with a tennis? You need a tennis racket to hit. You wouldn't think that would bother him, right? Like, you'd think that the way the year he's having, you would just think it's funny. It's nothing too bad. And so I think he still needs to, get less sensitive about things. And also, I think he does feel bad about it, and that, he is, he understands that the situation.
Chris, really appreciate your time, man. Great stuff this morning. Enjoy the rest of the series, and we'll be able to talk again down the line.
Great. Thank you for having
me. Thanks, Chris.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw, see what you guys are talking about on the text line at 12. We'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from a couple of the Ravens that spoke yesterday following practice. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All righty, let's start here with this texter that says the Orioles haven't won 3 games in a row since the All-Star break. What better situation to break that than tonight? You got Corbin Burnes on the mound. Both of his starts against Boston this season, 7 innings each time.
Yeah, you got to feel good every time Corbin Burnes is on the mound. And you're starting to see the Orioles do the things that they do well again. We're seeing some of the power come back from some of these guys that carried the load in the first half. Eflin looks like he could really help stabilize this rotation a little bit. We're starting to see Sir Anthony Dominguez kind of his stock rising in terms of being the closer and one of the back end of the bullpen guys that you can trust. Cano has been pitching well as of late also. So, yeah, there are some good things going on with this team right now that they've kind of just got to continue to tap into to get back to that consistency.
And Norm, you know what the best part is you get tonight. You've already got 2 in the bank for this series. And if you can just split the last 2 and you've won 3 of 4, you're hitting a home run with that series.
We'll go to Eric in Elkton here. Says, I hear people talking about Eflin like they're almost surprised by what he's done. But Eric here says that living up closer to the Maryland PA line converses with a lot of Phillies fans, and the vibe that they got, or the impression that they gave of Eflin when he was with the team in 2022, is that he was too good and pitched his way out of Philadelphia. Eric here says, I was thrilled when Baltimore executed that trade, knew they were getting a great player.
I think a lot of people were. I mean, I didn't really hear anybody that had a problem with the Eflin deal. Eflin has been one of the solid pitchers, and really looking at the pitchers that have been moved at the deadline, he might end up being the best one. Honestly, I got to see with Jack Flaherty. I think he got the start yesterday that was Walker Buehler that started. But he started maybe 2 days ago for the Dodgers. I got to see what he's been doing since the deadline. But, yeah, Eflin is definitely showing himself to be one of, if not the best pitcher moved at the deadline.
Who was the competition for him? Do we even know?
Other teams that were looking at? Not sure. Not sure, actually.
I'm sure teams were calling.
This texter here on the Ravens says, I would like to see more from the secondary depth tomorrow. Guys like Armour Davis and Williams need to prove themselves after the team added 2 new corners in the draft.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. What I want to see from Armour Davis is make plays on the ball, because I've seen him be there and practice, and I don't know if in practice, and they were in pads, are you supposed to let the guy catch it? Because you don't want contact, mm-hmm. or you're going to knock the ball down. Even in the Eagles game, where Wiggins knocked down 3, he made a couple tackles. I want to see him get his hands on the ball. And with Pepe, just show up. I want to see you know, 24. I just want to be, when I'm watching a game, damn, 24 showed up again. Because last week, it was Wiggins and it was Kane to me. Kane showed, it was like, damn, 28. You know, he knocked himself out of the game, and then he made plays on special teams too, but he jumped out at you.
Pepe did get the sack off the nickel blitz. I mean, that can kind of, you know, him and Ardarius have a similar style of play a little bit. I think Ardarius is probably a better cover guy. He just has a better feel of making a play on the ball than Pepe does. Pepe is probably more physical.
Yeah, he was real physical at University of Houston.
And one more here from Phil says, how can people say they want the Ravens to throw the ball more and in the same breath complain about not having enough rushing attempts in the playoff game? At the end of the day, it comes down to Lamar making the plays and hitting his receivers when they're open. It's not always about coaching, or at least Phil, to his point here, coaching not always to blame.
I would agree with that, especially now, because Lamar's kind of in control of what happens. You know, on the run-pass option, you know, on a run-pass option, Monken doesn't know if he's going to throw it or run it. You know, that's up to Lamar what he's going to do. So, yeah, I mean, I would say coaching is part of it, because coaching is prepping you all week long for what the game plan is and what the defenses are going to be. But then on Sundays, players got to win that game on Sunday.
And I think people really just want more balance. You know, I don't think when the Ravens are at their best, they're one of the more balanced teams. Granted, they've shown dominance in the run game when they lean heavy into that as well. I just think in this case, context matters when the texter is saying, you know, people want the Ravens to throw the ball more but get upset when they don't run it. I think people are obviously upset that they didn't run it enough in the AFC Championship game. You got to run it more than six times with your running backs. And I think Derrick Henry being there fixes that problem. But I don't think anybody wants the Ravens to also be a team that just goes out there and they're this air raid offense. That's not how they're built.
No, that's not going to be them. They're going to be two tight ends and stuff quite a bit too. But I think early in the season, Cordell, you may agree with me on this, ball's going to have to come out quickly with that offensive line. I mean, because Harbs wanted that O-line fixed in 2 weeks. You know, we're going to go into the last preseason game, and we're still not going to have definitive answers in my mind, because I don't know that they're going to change that much.
Right. Honestly, between now and then, I mean,
a week.
Yeah, they have what they have. Right now, coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We got to talk to Justin Tucker following yesterday's practice, Coach Randy Brown, as well, Jordan Stout. So we'll hear from some of those guys next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.